do have an announcement I want to make, that this is the Wednesday that we'll be having our services at the Landmark Nursing Home at 2 o'clock this Wednesday. So do keep that on your radar this week if you can. We'd love to come and for you to come and be with us as we have that service there at 2 o'clock. We just sung that song about the wonderful city of God. It reminds us of the subject we're going to talk about tonight. If you think about how that this life, we look in view of eternity. Right now, we live in what we call time, waiting for eternity. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, the subject of time. And I want to try to do my best to do this subject some justice this evening. I want you to turn over, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Here, the wise man Solomon talks about time and our existence here as we live on this earth. He says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." Here Solomon talks about these cycles and seasons of time that all of us experience in life. All of us have seen the cycles and the seasons go forth as they do. And there's different areas of life when we first are born into this world. As Solomon says, there's a time to be born and there's also a time to die. But when we're born into this world, we see the youth and all the experiences of youth growing up. And then we get to middle age and we realize, start having families and such. Then we get to the older age where the end of life is nearing. We think about what Solomon says and how important it is that we make every time that we have here on this earth mean something. And we make the most of the time that we have. And just as we have seen the last year, 2012, it is gone now. And now I'm reminded, like we count time, we start from January to December, 12 months in the year. And we even go even beyond that. We go from seconds to minutes to hours and days. We know how the process of counting time is in this life. And we can just watch those minutes go by, the second on the watch go by. And every second, we're another second older than we was before. And so all of that shows us the importance of using our time wisely as the people of God. But I want to suggest to you tonight, as we study the subject of time, that time begins with God. And time is where, at the very beginning, when God made everything that is made on this earth. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us in the first two verses of Genesis, the book of beginnings, here in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning of what? Time, is it not? "And the earth was out without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And we talk about all the rest of this, how God, the evening and morning was the first day, and all that counting of the 6 days of the time when God rested on the seventh day. That's where we get our counting of weeks, is from the very book of Genesis. And so all that shows us the importance of how that God shows us how time is counted in days and weeks and months and years. But drop down to verse 14, if you will. Here Solomon, or here Moses writing says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Here God made all this. Where we go around, the earth goes around the sun once in a year cycle. All of that shows us that God is the one who originates time. Time begins with God. And that's something that all of us need to have firmly planted within our minds is that. And we see the cycles and season, time marches on. It does not stop. Once God set in motion everything that was from the beginning, from the very beginning of creation, it is just like it was is from then till now. The cycles of season go through once again every year. And then in verses 26 and 27, he talks about making man there in Genesis chapter 1. How that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. In verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So we see where we came from. It's from the beginning of time. That's where God created all things. I would also suggest to you that time ends with God. Not only does it begin with God, but it also ends with the very God who will one day wrap up or end all of time. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." All of that's talking about a future time, a future day. It's not a day that we can see at this present time, but it is one day when God says enough is enough with this earth. And only the Lord, Jehovah Himself, knows when that will be. As Matthew 24 tells us, not even the Son or the angels know when that day is, but the Father only, when that day will come, when time will be no more. In Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." You know, the only one that can begin and end time is the one who is eternal Himself. The one who inhabits eternity, as the Bible would tell us. And so God Himself is eternal, and we are not. We understand that we are finite, fallible beings that are subjects of time. We do not control time, but God controls time. So therefore we must be subject to the cycles and seasons of time that God has put in His own place and as beautiful and appropriate as it is. In Revelation 1, verse 8, several times in the Scriptures, the Bible tells us this same message where God says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord." The Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last letter. What God is saying, He's not saying that He has a beginning and an end, but He's saying is that He is our beginning and our end. He is the one who controls and is sovereign over all of the earth and all that in the universe, so all that's under His control. But I would suggest to you tonight that time is limited. Here in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, we understand that man is limited in time. We've seen that there's a time to be born and a time to die. That limits our life, doesn't it, to a certain number of years. And we'll talk about what that is in just a few moments. But in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, Peter talks about the fact that God is not subject to time like you and I are. The Bible says in verse 8, "That beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." God's not limited like time like you and I are. He doesn't see time in the same way you and I do. We look at a thousand years as a long span of time. God sees it as just one day in the measurements of eternity. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 talks about man being limited in time. Here, James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We all know what James is saying. He's talking about the brevity of life, how brief life really is here on this earth. By the blink of an eye, life is almost over in some respects. Because we look back and see the passing of time, and where did it go? We wonder sometimes. As one brother said, you know, the older you get, the more the faster time seems to fly by in your life. And you see the passing of time as for what it is. And we see our bodies age, and old age comes upon us, and that's part of the showing us that time marches on. That time, that we're not here forever. That we have a limited time here on this earth. I think sometimes people in the world think that they have a perpetual lease on life. But we know better. We as children of God know, who understand how God has framed time, know that it is only for a short time that we're here on this earth. In Psalms 90, verses 9 and 10, here the Bible says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet their strength labor in sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." That's probably one of my favorite passages about the passing of time, and how that we should know that our life is how brief it really is. Here, Moses, who wrote the Psalm 90, tells us that our life is about 70, if I count that correctly, about 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80 years, which is about 80 years. And so we know what is the average lifespan of someone who lives on this earth. And we should realize, like Job did, that it is short and it's brief. And like Job said, that man who is born of woman is of few days and of full of trouble and sorrow. Just like Psalm 90 tells us here, that our life is of strength and labor and sorrow, and is soon cut off and we fly away. We sing that song, "I'll Fly Away." Just like Lazarus was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham in Luke 16. I believe that's a wonderful picture of what God does with you and I when we leave this world. That I believe, just like Lazarus, the angels carry us to that place. And we should not spend our lives in futile attempts to do things that are really not profit under the sun. In Psalms 90, verse 12, you know, the lesson would not have as much significance tonight if we did not read verse 12 of that same chapter, in Psalms 90. Here, Moses says again, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." What does the brevity of life teach us? It teaches us to number our days. To realize we don't have all the time we think we do when we're young. You know, when I was a younger man, I thought I had all the time in the world. And you know, after a while, the years creep up on you. You know, I'm not a very old man now, but I do realize that time does march on. That sooner I will be older than what I am now. And we need to apply our hearts to wisdom. That means take it to heart. To make the most of the time that we have here on this earth. But I would suggest to you tonight that some people are not doing that. I would suggest to you that time can be wasted. That's one thing that people do in this world today. When they live a life of riotousness, of sin and degradation, they're wasting their time. In 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4, I want to read what the brother read for us this evening. Because Peter tells us about how some live in this world according to the will of the Gentiles. But in verse 1, the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Now what Peter's saying is this. Christ, he suffered and gave up, sacrificed his life. We should do that with sin. We should sacrifice sin that is in our lives because of that. It says in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, to the will of to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's what people today are living in. When they're living it up, so-called the party lifestyle of this world, what they're doing is wasting their time. They're not applying their hearts to wisdom, as Moses would tell us in Psalms 90. But they're living in a riotous living, like the prodigal son, who wasted all of his money and wasted his time. He could have been with his father the whole time. Time can be wasted. Verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. You know, people in the world, they'll talk bad about the child of God who's trying to redeem their time and live the right kind of life. But yet people in the world will think it strange. Why don't you cut loose and live a righteous life? Why don't you live it up, as the saying is? But what we're really doing is hurting ourselves by wasting time in sin. In Romans chapter 13, here Paul says the same sentiment in a different way. In Romans chapter 13, I want to look at verses 11 to 14, says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Don't you love that statement? The time when you obeyed the gospel back in the past time shows us that we're that much closer to eternity. The time of our salvation closer to us than when we first believed. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What Paul is really saying is, quit wasting your time in a life of sin. I believe we all could say that in our past life that we have done that. What Paul said there, wasted time in sin. But yet we put on the armor of God now. And now we are to march forward into eternity as a child of God. But I would suggest you not. We know time can be wasted, but you and I as children of God know that time can be redeemed. You know, we can't go back and undo the mistakes and the sins that we did in our past lifetime. But what we can do is redeem the rest of the days of our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, here Paul speaks about this. In verse 14 says, he echoes what he says to the Romans in some respects, says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, means carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, we've got to make the most of what we have for the rest of our time. We know that life of sin was bad, and we don't want to go back to that. But all we can do is redeem the time that we have left. And how do we do that? How do we redeem the time that we have? We can go and understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17 says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, the best time that we could ever have is right here in the service of God. Studying your Bibles, that's redeeming time, isn't it? Worshiping God is redeeming your time. And living the Christian life, saying no to sin, and saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. All that redeems our time. And we should not look at as our past life as the glory days. Those were the days we're ashamed of, that we should be ashamed of. As Romans chapter 6 talks about. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Here Paul once again says in verse 20, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What was that? The time wasted in sin was death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that we can put that in the past and say, I used to be that way, but now I'm looking for eternal and everlasting life. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that to the end of the road of death is a waste of our time. But the wages of God, the gift of God, that God would reward every child of God, is worth redeeming our time for, isn't it? It's worth the sacrifice of all that we do for God, the time that we give to Him. Some say, I just can't get up for services. You know, I can't get up for Sunday morning services. I don't have time. But we should make time. Redeem the time. Give it, buy it back, and give it to the service of God. No better thing we could ever do. Time well spent is when we're serving God, putting Him first. I want you to turn over to Romans 6 and verse 17. Here it says, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. They stopped wasting their time, and now they were servants of righteousness. Like I said before, how do we do that? It's when we obey the gospel. Romans 6, verses 1 to 6. Paul says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just like Peter says, it's sufficient time. It was time enough that we had lived that way. But now, we're not the same person, are we? Verse 3 says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. That's where the redeeming of time starts. We obey the gospel by our faith, by our repentance of all of our sins, our past deeds. We say no to that. And we go on and we change our mind about sin that we're not going to practice sin. Because God commands that, Acts 17, verse 30. We confess Christ and are immersed in water for the very forgiveness of our sins. There is what Paul's talking about here. Baptized into His death is verse 3. Verse 4 says, Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've been planted together in the likeness of His death. We should also be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, you know, we can know when we are saved in Christ. You don't have to worry and guess about it. Here Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Where's the Him? When we were planted together with Christ. There's when that old man was destroyed. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But I also want to suggest to you tonight that time can be extended for those of us. And I believe this is one of the things that God is a loving God. God loves us so much and does not want us to be lost. But He extends time for the alien and lost sinner. In 2 Peter 3, I want you to turn back over to 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 9. I want you to look at verse 3 beginning. It says, Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now here are some people that don't believe that God is and He's going to destroy this earth and do what the Bible says. You know, God's patient with these people. God is long-suffering with those who are sinners. Verse 5 says, For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and they are standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men, ungodly men. What Peter is saying is, just like Noah built that ark for 120 years, and the Bible tells us that there God showed His long-suffering, did He not? In 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah. Now, how did God wait? Why did God wait is really the question we want to ask tonight. Because God did not want to immediately bring judgment on those people back then. You know, if God came tonight, there'd be no more chance or opportunity for us to obey the gospel. That door, like the door of the ark, would be closed. That opportunity would be no longer. But I believe we serve a God of long-suffering. who's not willing that any should perish, as verse 9 tells us, that all should come to repentance. And one day, God will wrap up this world and destroy this earth by fire, as He promised. The Bible says in verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." You know, it doesn't matter about time with God. He can wait longer than we can, because we're limited by time. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as those scoffers said in verse 3 that He was. "But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." And we know what comes when the day of the Lord comes. That brings judgment. We leave this world in death. There is no opportunity. We need to take the time that's extended to us. You know, it's by the grace of God that we're here tonight, that we're able to have another day of opportunity and of salvation today. As 2 Peter 3:15 tells us, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." Isn't it true? God loves us and wants to see everybody saved. And He's not willing to not give somebody a chance. That would not be fair. But God gives everyone a chance to be saved. He's extended that time for all of us to do that very thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know what that says to you and I is? That's saying, right now is the only time that you have. You know, think about the past. That's gone. We can't use the past. And the future is uncertain. We don't know if we have that future or not. But right now, you can be saved. Do you want to be saved? Because now is the accepted time of salvation. You can use your time right now to obey the gospel and become a new creature in Christ. If you're outside the body of Christ this evening, I want to encourage you that leave that life of sin. Leave that life that redeemed their time will be on the saved side. The right hand, as Matthew 25 talks about, the sheep that obey His voice. But on the left hand, those goats have wasted their time in riotous living. Living a life that may have thought that's what we want to do. Not do the will of God, but do our own will. We've got to do God's will. It's like Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If you need to respond to the gospel call this evening, why don't you let it be known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.